Blog Talk Radio.
Do you see all the people sinking down? Don't you care, don't you care? Are you gonna let them drown? How can you be so numb not to care if they come? You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. Oh, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord. You know, it's all I ever hear. No one aches, no one hurts. No one even sheds one tear, but he cries, he weeps, he bleeds, and he cares for your needs. And you just lay back and keep soaking it in. Open up and give yourself away. You see the need, you hear the cries, so how can you delay? God's calling and you're the one, but like Jonah you run. He's told you to speak, but you keep holding it in. Church just can't fight, cause it's asleep in the light. How can you be so dead when you've been so well fed? Jesus rose from the grave, and you can't even get out of bed.
Welcome to your place. I'm Scarlett, and tonight we'll be sharing with you a message by Todd Nichols. We have a desire to share with everyone some of the Restoration of Pentecost services that were held in, Goodlettsville, Tennessee this year. Wild Bill never forgot how he was groomed in Scripture at a very young age by the Log Talk Mom. He had memorized all of the scriptures that went along with Vacation Bible School, Children's Church, and Sunday School at his church. He even got to go into the Christ Ambassadors class, of which he was not old enough to be in, and take part of their Bible quiz. He has shared how he was a little cocky when it came to his knowledge of Scripture, when it came to his peers of the same age group. One Sunday, he went to a small church in Beebe, Arkansas, with his mom. In Sunday school, they were going to do a short Bible quiz with the kids quoting scripture that they were told to quote by the teacher. The teacher said that she was going to give Wild Bill an easy verse. They gave him Acts 2:38, a scripture that up until that date had not been on any of his Bible classes. It had not even been on the list of scriptures that he was to memorize. That day, his pride was shattered, but it was also a start of an understanding of how important it is to study the Bible for yourself, to make sure that nobody else is missing out on hearing about the book of Acts. We are bringing you these sermons in a hope that you may find an understanding of the experience described in the books of Acts. Most of all, we pray that you seek to have this experience for yourself. And now, a message by Todd Nichols.
I commend you for all of your work and all of your labor and all of your prayer and all of your fasting and the wonderful things that you have done in preparation for this meeting. We greet all of the pastors and all the leaders that had a part of this together. But it's going to take a little bit more of us to get to where God's wanting us to go in the next 10 days. It's going to take a high level of faith. It's going to take unabashed, unapologetic, apostolic anointing. We're not here to have church with a bunch of churches. We are here to release the power of God in this building and let it flow out of this place so that lives can be touched and lives can be changed. Amen. I believe that God is about to do something in the next 10 days that's going to change the course of this city forever. Do you believe that? Would you put your hands together and would you praise God with a high shout of praise? Come on, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. I turn your attention to Exodus chapter 15 tonight. Ask you to go there with me if you would. Before we can ever have a true Pentecost, we've got to have the true Christ. There is no Pentecost without Christ. There is no Pentecost without His sacrifice. There is no Pentecost without people that believe. There is no Pentecost without people that have made up in their mind that we are determined to not just talk about last day revival, but to be a part of it. The days of crippled limbs being straightened and blind eyes being opened and the dead being raised and people receiving the Holy Ghost en masse, that was not there in the Bible as a fable. He said, in the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Upon my servants and upon my handmaids. He put that in there to just let us know. There's nobody. If you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can have it. If you want apostolic revival, you can have it. It's for everybody. It's for every creed and culture and class and skin color. Do you believe that tonight? Exodus chapter 15 and verse 23. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. The people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" He cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee." They came to Elim, 12 wells of water, 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. They asked the Lord, "What shall we drink?" In 16, Exodus 16 and verse 3, the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. What shall we drink? What shall we eat?" I want to preach to you for a while tonight about bread and water. Bread and water. I feel such a special anointing in here tonight. Before you're seated, would you reach over and would you take the hand of somebody nearby you there? And let's focus our mind and our attention on one purpose tonight, and that's to hear the word of the Lord and to let the Spirit of God demonstrate. Would you do that now? Would you lift your voice? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come humbly before you tonight. We ask for your great prophetic spirit. We ask for a yoke-breaking anointing in this place. We ask you, Lord God, to move in this sanctuary upon every man and woman, upon every child, upon every adolescent. We pray, God, that you would move in a great and mighty way. We release you, Lord. We release our faith. We pray that you would touch us in a miraculous way. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, you may be seated. They came to this place, Marah. There was no water to drink. The water that they did have was bitter. And the Bible says that God showed him a tree. The word "showed" there means to point. But this word became a word that would accompany the giving of the law to Israel, because it took upon the meaning to teach. So God was not just pointing to this tree and saying, "I think that tree would be a good tree to use, and I think that this would be a good method to use." But what he was saying is, "I'm about to teach you something about the way that I function and the way that I operate." Israel needed God's instruction if they were going to enjoy his provision and the demonstration of his power. He said to them that this is become a statute and an ordinance unto you. The New Living Translation tells us that instead of using the word tree there, the word branch was used. We know that Christ was that branch. He was the root and offspring of David. He was the true vine. He said, "I am the vine and you are the branches." He was the branch before we were the branch. Amen. Connected to the Spirit of the Eternal Father. That branch that was cast into the water that day was a lesson to them that when you get Christ in the middle of anything that is bitter, I can make it sweet. He can turn the bitter waters of sin into the sweet waters of the Holy Ghost power and revelation. He can turn the things that are bad into things that are good. He can change the prospect of death into life, because he said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And so we understand here that what God did in the water that day, he can do in your individual life. There is no circumstance, there is no life challenge, there is nothing that you face that is too bitter that God cannot sweeten it, that he cannot turn it, that he cannot change it, that he cannot flip it, that he cannot change the outcome, that he cannot bring a different conclusion. The Bible said that they came shortly after that place to a place called Elim. The verse before tells us that they were headed to this place, and when they got there, there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. 70 being the number of judicial practice, 70 elders of Israel, and 12 being the number of God's divine judicial process. And so he was letting them know, I am about to judge the motives of the people. I'm about to look into the heart of people. I'm about to teach you something here before I move you forward. Understand this. Where you are right now, you did not get here without God testing you and without God proving you. God is out to prove the motives of every person in this place. He is out to look into the hearts of every individual in this place. Before he moves you forward, he wants you to know that your desire is for him and him alone, and not for the things of this world. And so they got a little comfortable there, and when Moses told them that they were going to have to move forward, the Bible said that they began to murmur against him. The word murmur there does not just mean to talk against or to speak negatively. It literally means to stop in a permanent place. The adversary wants to use your personal agenda. He wants to use your carnality. He wants to use the way that you used to think and the traditional practices that you used to operate by to keep you in a permanent place. But I feel the Holy Ghost in the next 10 days saying, if I can find somebody that will let me, I will take this body forward and I will show you what I really want to do. Do you believe that? Would you clap your hands unto the Lord and give him a shout of praise? Elim was an oasis in their wilderness. It was a good stopping off place. But it was not one of those places that you would want to live forever, because on every side there was nothing but wilderness. It was an oasis, but it was not Pentecost. It was an oasis, but it was not what God was going to do on Mount Sinai. It was an oasis, but it wasn't the promised land. And the question here is tonight, do we want an oasis revival, or do we want a real red-hot Pentecostal apostolic revival in this hour? I appreciate the moments of reprieve, and I appreciate the times that God has brought us to places that we call revival. But we have yet to reach the place that God is trying to take his church to, where the early and the latter rain come together, and the blind eyes are open, and the dumb speak, and the deaf hear. I'm not here for an oasis. I'm here for a Pentecost. Come on, why don't you go ahead and praise him? We may as well make up in our mind tonight that we're not going to have normal church here. That's what I'm talking about right there. Somebody else ought to do that right there. Come on, I came to have everything that God wants us to have. Now, I'm not here to bring correction, and I'm not here to be a downer, but the first thing that we've got to have before we have a real restoration of Pentecost is we've got to stop speaking negative faith.
We've got to stop getting frustrated when God tries to move us forward, and we got to stop getting frustrated when it doesn't go our way, and we've got to get over the little petty issues that we fight with day and night, because what God is trying to do is give us a revival that will revolutionize the world that we live in. We've got to start speaking revival. If you want revival, speak it. If you want your family saved, speak it. If you want your boss saved, speak it. Don't get frustrated with the here and now. Don't get frustrated with the past. Don't speak negative faith. Don't murmur against the will of God. But tell the Lord, we're ready for a Pentecost, and we're ready to have it right now. Now, they misunderstood God's objective into bringing them into the wilderness. It was not to kill the whole assembly with hunger. God brought them out to change their diet. And your diet has everything to do with your spiritual health. They began to say things like, would to God we had died by the flesh pots when we had bread to the full. Well, I got news for you, Israel. You could have gone back to Egypt and you could have stayed there and you could have eaten bread to the full, but that bread had leaven in it. And there were some things that God didn't want them to have before he showed them his glory. The Pentecost that God wants to give the Latter-day Church is a Pentecost that will come to people that say, I want bread, but I want the unleavened bread. I don't want the leavened bread of the world. I don't want the fabricated bread. I don't want the entertainment bread. I don't want the worked up bread. I don't want the emerging bread. I don't want the hyped up bread. I want Holy Ghost bread. I want the bread of righteousness and sincerity and truth. If you feel that way, would you clap your hands? So he responded to them, and he said, I will rain bread from heaven. He told them, he said, you're going to go out 5 days, and you're going to gather an omer of bread for 5 days. An omer for man, for every man. And on the sixth day, you're going to gather twice as much bread as you did in the previous 5 days, because in the seventh day, that bread is not going to you enough bread in the sixth day to sustain you through the seventh day. Remember that all of this, the branch, the water itself, the bread, all of these things that God is talking about, he is referring to Christ. That's why for thousands of years God began to acquaint them with feasting, the feast of Passover, the feast of unleavened bread, the feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast Day of Atonement, the Feast of the Waving of the Sheaf of First Fruits. He began to acquaint them with feasting because he was trying to teach them what he was going to fully illustrate at the Lord's Supper, when Jesus finally said, the bread that you've been eating for the last 1,500 years, the bread that you've been feasting on, those feasts that you've been holding, and those Sabbaths that you've been keeping, I am that bread that has come down from heaven. He was going to teach them that when you partake of my flesh and when you drink of my blood, you can have the power of my spirit. Everything about God is about feasting, not nibbling, not coming to church and just getting a little a cup full, or just getting a little wafer, or coming and just getting a little feeling or a few goosebumps. Everything about God is about feasting. God wants us to feast upon him. The Lord Jesus said, except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you cannot be my disciple. If you're going to have a real Pentecost, you're going to have the real Christ. And I don't want just a little Christ. I don't want just a little Jesus in my life. I don't want him just on Sunday. I don't want him every now and then. I want him when I walk in the grocery store. I want him when I'm at the gas station. I want him when the enemy's attacking my family. I want him when I wake up in the morning. I want him when I lay down at night. I want him in the middle of the day. I didn't come for just a little bread tonight. I came to feast upon him, because when I feast upon him, there is a Pentecost that's coming.
The Bible said in Noah's day they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. There's nothing wrong with eating and drinking. It's just that they were eating and drinking from the wrong diet. The Bible tells us in Exodus 16 and 13 that he told Moses that when you go out in the morning, you're going to find the dew on the ground. And when the dew begins to lift, you're going to find manna there on the ground in the morning. But he said, I'm going to give you quail in the evening. It's right there in Exodus chapter 16. He said, I'm going to give you quail at night, and I'm going to give you manna in the morning. I'm going to give you flesh at night, and I'm going to give you manna in the morning. He was trying to illustrate to his people, because quail are one of the heaviest birds out there. They're just a fat blob of dead weight. As a matter of fact, they travel in such large countries, large numbers. They have been known to converge upon a small ship or a small vessel floating out in the water, and if enough of them get on top of it, they can literally sink the boat. What he was trying to tell them is that flesh will always bring you down, but there's joy that's coming in the morning. And if you desire the manna, and if you desire the bread that I give from heaven, if you just hang on, there's coming a Pentecost.
God needs his people to get bread in the morning, to feast upon him every morning. When you get up in the morning, your day ought to be about Jesus. In noonday, your day ought to be about Jesus. Amen. There's power in the name of Jesus. You cannot have a Pentecost without Christ involved.
It tells us in verse 14 that when they went out, they saw the dew and the manna lay upon the face of the wilderness. It literally says that it laid upon the face of the wilderness. God wants to lay something on the face of your wilderness tonight. God wants to put something on the face of your broken marriage here tonight. God wants to pull somebody out of the demoralized.
Try it again. I didn't click it off. Thank you.
God wants to put something on top of your misery and on top of your sorrow. Some of you walked in here heavy under the weight of the flesh and heavy under sin, and you've tried religion and you've tried this and you've tried that. Amen. But there is a power in this place tonight. There is an anointing in this place tonight. And I just got a feeling that somebody's going to walk out in the morning and you're going to see something on top of the situation that you've been going through. Amen. God wants to put dew and God wants to put bread in your life to sustain you.
Bread and water are the basics of life sustaining for the human race.
In days gone by, when someone was arrested, they put them in jail, they'd give them bread and water. And what God was trying to do is bring Israel back to the basics of what he was going to do in their life. It starts with bread and water. If you don't know how to eat and you don't know how to drink, you're going to have a trouble having a real Pentecost here tonight. Jesus is saying, I need my people to get in love with me and to fall in love with me like they are never falling in love with me again, like before. I need my people to fall in love with me and to eat the bread that I have given them from heaven like they have never eaten it before.
We got to be more than just in love with coming to church and in love with belonging to something. We've got to become enamored and in love with Him.
Now the Bible said that when they walked out and they saw the manna, they didn't know what to call it, so they called it manna. Manna means what is it? They didn't know what it was. Just stay with me. I know some of you have heard this before, but just stay with me. They went out and they saw this laying on the ground and they said, what is it? They called it manna. What? We can't explain it. We don't know what it is. And so Moses told them what it was. He said, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Now imagine with me being out in the middle of nowhere. You have nothing to eat. You have nothing to sustain you. And the same wilderness that you looked out on last night, you now walk out and look at the same wilderness in the morning. And there lies something that in the middle of the night fell from heaven as the dew came down upon the grass. Imagine how miraculous that you would feel that your God is. I've got something better than that. It's not little unleavened pieces of wafers covered in coriander seed and honey. It's not that. It's not just a little cracker here and there on the ground. It's something that'll pick you up when you're down. It's something that will save you when you're lost. It's something that will heal you when you're sick. It's the power of the Holy Ghost, the real bread that God is trying to give us, is the power of His Spirit. I don't think we know what we have.
He told them in verse 20, He said, when you walk out and you gather it, He said, gather it up, take it home, and don't leave any left over, because if you do, it's going to stink and it's going to breed worms. I wonder how many times that the Holy Ghost drops into place and we gather it up to ourselves, but we walk out with just a little touch when God wanted to put that marriage all the way back together. And when God wanted to heal all of that cancer, and when God wanted to heal that diabetes, and when God wanted to bring somebody out of a wheelchair, I wonder how many times that we have come into the house of the Lord and felt the presence of the Lord, but we did not fully release Him. I'm going to tell you, we've got a God that has all power in heaven and earth. There is no God like our God. If we will release Him tonight, there is nothing that is impossible to Him. Does anybody believe that here tonight? I want to tell you right now, whatever you came facing, God can do it. There is nothing that is impossible to our God.
Bible tells us they went out 6 days. 6 days. We know that there are six dispensations. On the sixth day, they got twice as much. The first dispensation was the dispensation of innocence. Number two was conscience. Number three was human government. These are periods of time where God dealt with man. The fourth one was promise, and the fifth one was law. But in the sixth dispensation came the living bread that came down from heaven. We got in this dispensation the double portion. You think the parting of the Red Sea was something? Wait till you see what God's going to do before the rapture. There is no way that the Old Testament church is going to see more of a demonstration than the New Testament church. The latter house shall be greater than the former house. Now, I didn't get everybody believing that, so I think I'll try that again. You think a Jordan River being rolled back over 20 miles is something? Wait till you see what God is going to do before the rapture. Daniel in a lion's den.
David and a giant. Water coming from a rock. Manna coming down from heaven. That's not fantasy. That's not fable. And I got news for you. Thank you, Old Testament saints. But we're the Latter-day Church that has the early and the latter rain together. We've got twice as much manna in our day. Somebody shout, what is it? Come on, somebody shout, what is it?
Wow, that's good.
Let's try that again. Somebody shout, what is it?
That's what they said. They saw the manna. You can be seated. And they said, what is it?
It's the same question they asked repeatedly when Jesus came. John said that he came into his own, and his own knew him not. They were constantly asking him, are you the one, or do we look for another? Who is he? What is it? We can't explain it. We don't know what to do with it. He's opening blind eyes. He's doing all these miracles. What is it? We don't even know what to call it. Somebody said his name is Jesus, and he is from a town called Nazareth, and his brothers and his sisters are here with us. His family is here. The same question they ask about the manna, they ask about Jesus. And the same question they ask about the manna and about Jesus, they ask on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible said that they turned to the disciples and they said, what meaneth this? We've got too many things that we can explain. We've got too many things that we can put a label on. Man, that was a great Sunday night church. Man, that was a, man, what a midweek service we had. Man, the power of God broke out at choir practice on Tuesday night. Wow, man, look at all this. Well, what happened? Well, this is what happened. Two people were blessed and one person went home with the Holy Ghost. But see, God loves doing things that man cannot explain. The real Pentecost don't look like something you and I think it looks like. Because if we already know what it looks like, God is not, that's not the way God operates. God, when he brings a Pentecost, it causes everybody around you to say, what in the world is going on down at that place? I wish I had a preaching church here tonight. I wish I had somebody that understood that God's trying to get us back to the bread, and God's trying to get us back to the water, where we walk out in the morning and say, my God, did you see what just happened? We got to have a what meaneth this revival. We got to have a what meaneth this outpouring. We got to have some people walk out of here tonight. And let me just say this here, and these pastors can straighten us up. And I'm really not trying to ruffle anybody's feathers or anything. I'm just going to say it real nice and leave it out there. But we got to quit trying to apologize for the way we have church. We got to quit trying to explain ourselves to everybody. You can't explain the power of our God. We need something unexplainable. We got too many people in this generation. I know it's not here, okay? This is just us and all those people online. But we got too many people murmuring. We don't need all that. We don't need to go any further. My God, we've got this beautiful oasis here. We got these beautiful buildings, and we've kind of gotten a little bit more sophisticated than we used to be, and we're not that religion from the other side of the tracks anymore, and we've kind of come up, and people are starting to take notice. We've got to stop that, and we've got to start speaking what God told us to have. When you get in the car headed to the church house, you got to say, tonight there's going to be somebody that's blind, and God's going to open their eyes, and nobody's going to be able to explain it. When you walk in the door and you start shaking the hands of the greeters and the ushers, you ought to look them in the eye and say, boy, oh boy, something's going to happen tonight that's going to blow all of our minds. We need a what meaneth this revival. We need a what meaneth this. We need a man of Pentecost. We need something that people look and say, I don't even know what to call it. What about this one? What about this kind of revival? What about the kind of revival that you look up after you peeled yourself off the floor, after weeping and crying and travailing and praying people through the Holy Ghost, and you peel yourself off the floor and you realize it's 1 o'clock in the morning? Well, why would you do all that? What does all that mean? Why do you do that? Well, see, you got to understand, once I was in Egyptian bondage, I was a slave to drugs and alcohol and nicotine, and my marriage was falling apart. Hey, you need to open your mouth to begin to tell somebody, God brought me out. God brought me out with the power of His blood. What shall we drink? What shall we drink? Jesus answered that question in John 7. And verse 37, he said, on that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. It don't get any simpler than this. He wants us to have bread, and he wants us to have water. The bread is Christ. The water came out of Christ. He wants us to have the sustaining power of his glory. You are the devil's worst nightmare. You are a walking powerhouse. And when people ask you, what is wrong with you? What's going on with you? Oh, nothing. I've just been eating a lot of bread and drinking a lot of water lately. I just got in the prayer room in the prayer closet, and I got alone with Jesus, and I've just been eating bread to the full, and I've been drinking water, because Jesus said if I was thirsty, all I had to do was come unto him and drink. And he said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of, everybody say out of, something's got to flow out of you. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. What makes us different than everybody else? Number one, we have a name that is above every name. I don't want to offend anybody, but the Muslims don't have that name. They could, but they don't yet. But I got a feeling there's coming a Muslim revival. I don't know, that doesn't really fit in the broad scheme of things. I'm not sure, yeah, because you're thinking right here, but God's thinking, I want to do something that the world cannot explain. Can you imagine what would happen if the fastest growing religious faith movement on planet Earth, the Muslims, began to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and get baptized in Jesus' name? What makes us different than everybody else? What makes us different than the entertainment industry? What makes us different than people that are just good churchgoers? What makes us different? I tell you what makes us different. That somewhere in the second song of a service, somebody can come up and get the attention of somebody on the stage and say, I need prayer. I was diagnosed this afternoon with terminal cancer. They told me I'm in the last stage of cancer. Would you pray for me? What makes us different is that somebody can just step off the end of the stage and take one drop of oil and put it on their head and pray the prayer of faith, and God can heal them right then. That's what makes us different. What makes us different is that people that are hooked on all kind of drugs, prescription drugs and cocaine and heroin and cigarettes and alcohol, they can come in and say, I've had enough of that stuff. I've used that as a crutch long enough. I've had this stuff in my life because this is how I cope with my wilderness. What makes us different is that any of you out there can walk up to a person like that and say, hey, I know you've been in the wilderness, but let me show you what Pentecost looks like. The pagans had church too. The pagans worshiped too. The pagans had nice temples too. But they didn't have manna. The pagans worshiped too. But their worship never made them drunk. The pagans had doctrine too. But they never had demonstration. The prophets of Baal cried out to their gods. They jumped on top of the sacrifice. They cut themselves. And not one thing happened. But an old prophet stepped up and uttered 63 words. And the heavens opened up. And fire came down and consumed the sacrifice and licked up the 12 barrels of water that were in the ditch. You're telling me that God's going to do that in the Old Covenant and He's not going to do that in the New Testament church? Paul said, what makes my ministry unique is not enticing words of man's wisdom. But he said it's the demonstration and wisdom, not man's wisdom, but the demonstration and power that I come with. Some people are like the children of Israel in the wilderness when they saw manna for the first time. They said, what is it? What meaneth this? Some of you walked in this building tonight and say, I don't understand what all the hand clapping's about. I don't understand what the aisle running's about. I don't understand what the noise is all about. What's all the celebration? And oh, by the way, what is this that I feel on me right now? We're glad that you ask. Because when you ask those kind of questions, God will answer. I have seen people that I thought God would never be able to reach, and all of a sudden He reached down in the ditch that they were living in and somehow got a hold of them. And everybody in the church was standing back saying, how in the world did this happen? How in the world did this transpire? It's because God knows what He's doing and He knows how to reach every sinner. We're living in a day. Just stay with me, I'm closing. We're living in a day of double portion. If you want to live your life like it's an accident, that's up to you. If you want to live your life without purpose, that's up to you. But that's not the way I choose to live my life. Because I could have gone that way.
the miracles that were done, boy, I like that, by the Apostle Paul were only the beginning. They were the first fruits of the church. And somehow, because we went through several hundred years of dark ages, we're still trying to find our way of being the church and not just attending the church. God needs people that love to eat bread and love to drink water. We don't need a lot of flash. We don't need any special desserts or any kind of special treatment. Just give me bread and give me some water. Give me Christ and give me the Holy Ghost. Because when Christ came in that sixth day, just like they gathered twice as much in the time when manna rained from heaven, we have the early and the latter rain. Now we have grace and truth. Now we have Jew and Gentile. We have the barley and the wheat. We have the law and the grace. The Feast of Pentecost was different than any other feast that Israel had, in that the bread that was used at the Feast of Pentecost contained leaven. It seemed to go against the grain of everything God had taught them. And they would take these two loaves of bread and they would bring them into the house of the Lord, and they would wave them before the Lord as a wave offering, as a type of first fruits of the harvest of bread. The reason that the leaven was there on Pentecost was because that leaven represented you and us, the Gentiles. It was no longer about the Jews anymore at the real Pentecost. It was about Jew and Gentile. It was about the bond and the free. It was about the Roman and the Greek. Whosoever will, he said, let him come unto me and drink. Now you could choose to believe me or not tonight, but I want to tell you that what's about to happen in the next 10 nights is going to be extraordinary. You just think that you knew what you had prepared for, but God is about to do a what is it revival. And God is about to cause some people to leave this building scratching their head saying, what meaneth this? What just happened in that building tonight? I've come to tell somebody right now that the power of God Almighty is in this building, and there is nothing that is impossible to Him. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Is there somebody in this place that believes what I'm talking about? Is there somebody in this place tonight that realizes that we are in a crucial hour and we are at a pivotal time and we can't afford to play church? We need a Pentecost. Come on, would you lift up Jesus right now? Would you magnify the Lord in this place? Would you let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on you here for just a moment? Come on, lift your voice. Come on, lift your voice. Come on, lift your voice, would you? Alabo sata labo horebe keabo kotolobo horeba sata. Alabo rebe keabo kotorama samasata sata lamahaya. Would you stand to your feet and would you take your neighbor's hand? When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all one mind and one accord. And now you can wait 10 days if you want to, but right now, if we could just get in one mind and one accord. Separate assemblies and separate congregations and different pastors, but the same body. One mind and one accord. If we just for a little while could forget about who thinks what, who knows our past, who thinks we're worthy, And we can say, Lord, I'm glad for the oasis. But we need a Pentecost. And if we could just begin to speak the same thing instead of speaking negative faith, if we could just begin to say, Lord, like we've never seen it before, we're ready for you to blow our minds. We're tired of unsaved children. We're tired of unsaved families. We're tired of unsaved co-workers. And God, we don't have to see it in the building anymore. If you'll just give me that holy boldness, I'll pray them through the cubicle next to me. That's what Pentecost is. And all it took was 120. We got a whole lot more than that here tonight. It just took 120 that decided that they were going to tarry until. He said, go tarry until you be endued with power from on high. What would happen in this place tonight if every person in this building, from the sound and media people upstairs to the platform and one side to the other, from the back row to the front, said, tonight, God, I want to be endued with power from on high. Would you begin to lift your voice and would you pray right now? We're getting ready to release something in this place. Come on, let's no looking around. Now would you lift it just a little bit higher? Tonight, some people are going to receive the Holy Ghost for the first time. Tonight, somebody that's been away from God is going to pray through tonight. But we need the church. We need the church to be endued with power from on high. We need you to be stirred by the presence of God. We need you to get desperate. God, we need manna. God, we need to get back to the simplicity a manna and water and the presence of God. Would you lift it just a little higher? David Smith is about to come and lead us into a Holy Ghost outpouring, but would you lift it just a little higher? Come on, that's it. Come on, that's it. Would you let the Lord take you somewhere? Would you let the Lord take you somewhere? We're not going to worry about the job we just got laid off of. We're not going to worry about the frustrations at home. We're not going to worry about the fact that the kids won't behave. We're not going to worry about the fact that our past is still catching up with us. Right now, our mind and our attention is focused on the Lord. We need the manna.
Wonderful message, Pastor. Thank you. From Todd Nichols at the Restoration of Pentecost Service in Goodlettsville, Tennessee. Bob Tuck Mom, are you with us?
I am. I'm always, by the grace of God. I'm so enjoying that, that you're sharing it. Took the time to share it with all of us that couldn't be there. And another big love and hug and thank you to you and Wild Bill for your consistent effort to be a blessing. It's really good. That's excellent. The message was brought in our covenant with God. It's so powerful and mighty. It's just very good. I appreciate it. Thank you. And how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. God is good all the time.
I like that, wonderful. People say pretty good, and I say pretty good. Full of the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, and pretty good. That was just cute. I believe people are hungry for God, like he was saying. There is a stir of the Spirit of God upon all creation right now, and I can talk about the Lord to people as easy as any subject. It's like they're just very open to. I've had people come up to me and ask me what church I go to, and one family said they would be here Sunday morning.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, people are stirred. They're stirred by the world situation and their own, like he was talking about, people being delivered from different types of drugs and actually medicine doing its very best is not adequate. People are being desperate for healing and turning to God. It's just beautiful. I love the way the Spirit of God's moving right now. And I love the way that this program seems to be just so on target. It just every Tuesday is just exactly what I need to hear. I'm sure I'm not the only person. There's many, many. There's it also seems like a love is flowing. People, there's just a loving politeness that I know it's not always there, but right now I'll brag on Mississippi. Seem like people are being so courteous, and I think that's a sign that people are looking towards God. You know, you reflect whatever you're looking towards, and I think people are looking towards God, and they're going to see and feel love when they do that. I spoke a little bit with Wild Bill, and he is, of course, both of you have consecrated your time and your money and your life for the work of God in the last few years, and that's just awesome. It's wonderful. It's encouraging to me, and to be able to share that to my whole family. I love my family. I won't get to see all that much on this earth, but we're going to have... that mansion in heaven, we'll all meet there for that food that he was talking about. Have a big meal. But the manna does teach us a lot of lessons.
Bob Bell, how are you tonight?
Well, I'm out here plugging along in the dark and enjoying that message just like the rest of you. Sometimes when I'm praying and trying to think what it is I need to play on the show, when it actually plays, I think I'm more surprised probably than you guys are. So it's really neat how God is moving. You know, one of the things about getting older is that you have life experience and you have knowledge of things that you've witnessed versus, you know, knowledge of things that people have told you. Things that you have just been taught or something like that, you've actually witnessed certain things. And it seems that we're living in a day and time to where, like Blog Talk Mama saying, that God is reaching out to all who will. He's stirring everyone that will be stirred. He's reaching out to those that are lost. And I've been in the last probably 2 or 3 years hearing some of the best preaching that I've ever heard in my life. Not to say that the preaching I heard before wasn't good, but I mean just really getting into depth of things of what God is wanting to go along with the flow of His Spirit reaching out to a lost mankind. But I sit in some of these services and I look around me, which is always a bad thing to do sometimes. But I see where he was talking about in this message to where we're nibbling off the food. We're sort of, you know, excited. We're sort of, you know, yeah, this is good. This is like ice cream or something like that. But we're not really leaving with that abundance of satisfaction that I used to witness years ago to where the preacher may not say the right words. His message may get lost and be like a shotgun kind of message where he's actually had 10 messages in one. But people seem to respond in past more than what they have right now. And I've been really praying about that and trying to understand why that is. And he sort of hit on it here tonight about how that when Jesus was going along with his family, they were known. It was common. It was, that's Joseph's family. And so it was kind of hard to accept what is this that's happening. And it just got to be, well, this is the Joseph family, and this is, with all this Jesus thing, we don't really know what it is. But God has shown me, just accidentally I've run across things to see where there may be a singer-songwriter in a Baptist church who is singing from their heart with all that they have in worship to their God. And all of a sudden you witness the power of God's Spirit falling on these people, and there's people speaking in tongues throughout this church who doesn't speak about Day of Pentecost. Who, like me, Acts 2:38 is not a scripture that they had ever memorized. It was one of those that was kind of put off on the back burner. But God is reaching out for those whosoever will. But if there was ever a time for his people to really unplug their ears and take the binders off their eyes and not try to fit God into a formula or a format or a certain doctrine of truth, but to let God be God and all the awesomeness that is God, he wants to do more, as they were talking here. If he did it in the Old Testament, how much more is he going to want to do it in that latter race? And I think sometimes that we're so into a format of growing church, building church, reaching out, getting people to come, that we forget about the relationship of God. And I've said that a lot. I'm probably starting to sound like a broken record. But when you hear about scripture where it talks about people talking about it being like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, it's like God just reminded me that the source of the power and the source of the word and the anointing of the word has not changed. It is still powerful. It is still mighty. It is still life-changing to go and do the work it is meant to do. The sounding brass and tinkling cymbal is because the receiver has something wrong. The receiver sitting there, and they're just hearing it like, blah, 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 blah. Tinkle, tinkle, tinkle. All this excites me a little bit. We need to forget about being me. We need to be like a starving person that you put food in front of them. And we don't worry about how we cut it or how much of it we're getting on our face or how much is running down on our shirt. We're just digging in and getting it all God has for us. And I feel like that we're on the brink of something big, but I don't want to be part of a group who talks about it, thinks about it, uses the right words, kind of twists their career a little bit to make their point, comes up with their new thing that they share with all their brothers and sisters on some little nugget that God has brought to them, and miss out on the thing that God wants us to have beyond what we can think or ask. So I want to thank all you guys who listen. I pray that something about these sermons are an inspiration to you as they are to me. And I pray also that, if you feel like your life is in a box, it's up to you to get out of it. No one put you in there but yourself. You have no limitations on what God can do in your life other than what you put there. So, and thank you, Blog Talk Mom, for taking all that time to teach me all those scriptures when I was a kid. And shame on you for not teaching me Acts 2:38 and letting me get embarrassed at that church.
Amen. Oh, damn. I didn't know it either. That's good. Tell you what, there's a lesson in that, because every church I work for, family, is in another denomination, and every church has, without really even realizing, we all have a set of scriptures, and we sort of stay in that line of which is good. I mean, all the scriptures are good. All scriptures are good. But if we shut out through revelation and that daily walk with God, we speak to the freshness So the manna couldn't be left over one day to the other. So we need fresh manna continually. That's the fresh walk with God, hearing from the Spirit of God. And He desires to do that. He really does. The sister Paula was saying, sometimes we go through a season, well, all the time, there are seasons in our life where, you know, we don't feel that unction that I want to feel. That doesn't mean that something isn't being formed in our spirit. This is what we know. I appreciated that. That was a lot of noise. What was it?
That was Wild Bill in his truck.
Oh, that was, it sounded like something like static or something, but he has, I so appreciate his burden and his passion that you can just feel when he speaks. One thing I've noticed through the years that with all Christians, there's we want to be spontaneous. You know, we just want to be that just exuberant, want to just praise God, and that just doesn't happen. You know, it's just not life. It's not real. It doesn't mean we can't have peace, a peace that passes all understanding, but the exuberance, the emotional, you know, that outburst, whatever, it's I haven't maintained it, but that doesn't mean I'm not the last word in anything. Continual balance of the times that we are exuberant, the times we are spontaneous, and the times we just stand. When we've done all that we can do, as Paul taught in Ephesians, when you've done it all, just stand. And then, you know, that's the season, isn't it, Sister Starla?
Yes, it is. It is.
It's very important.
In my life that I had to just stand.
Right, right. And then there'll be a time, it's almost like as the Spirit of God leads, because like on the day of Pentecost, they were obedient. They had done what, they'd gone to the upper room. They were waiting and tarrying as God had told them to. And at that given time, they heard the sound. They saw the manifestation. They were filled. They did react, but they weren't there praising and trying. You know, it's sort of sometimes I think we feel we, or I have had it in my mind, I had to praise Him to get Him to do His will. Or I'm maybe not saying that correctly, but it's God's plan already to do whatever He's said He was going to do. Every promise is already His plan. So when we get in position, He'll do His part. And then naturally that we're each led to do our part. And I have had the best time this week with everywhere I go. Each day, God will lead at least one person to me that we just have the best time talking about the Lord. It's just not like witnessing particularly, or it's just good, fresh, and like fresh bread. You know, nothing like bread, you know, come in. I had to quit doing it because I gained so much weight. But, you know, when you have that that bread that's baking already and you come in, you smell that bread, and, oh, man, there's nothing quite like it. And put some butter on it, maybe a little honey. And that's the way it is when we're fellowshipping. Ooh, hallelujah, I feel the Spirit of God on that one. You know, just fellowshipping with about the goodness of God and His sweetness and how wonderful He is. And not, well, I'll tell you what, 40 years ago, it just wasn't like this, you know. My pastor says, I know, we didn't have air conditioning and the mosquitoes would chew you. So being in the old days is not always, you know, all that. It depends on what, which way. I didn't mean that to sound critical, because there was a need, or especially around World War II ending, and during those times of the Great Depression, people were desperate, and they did. There was a seriousness in reaching out to God, and it was a lot of great miracles were recorded during that time, and revivalists were you know, came forth. So this is a different time, a different season. You really, bless me, Sister Darla, when you're talking about seasons. Had you studied that, or was that just something that you just came to your, when we were talking?
No, it just, I don't know.
But I know with you in Wildville, in your church, you've, that I think that in a new church, in a, you know, church that's just getting its roots in an area, you talk about walls that you have to just pray through and stay.
Yeah.
Well, it's true, you know, but it seemed like it's magnified. Joy Bells explained that to me one time about certain things amplify who you are. It doesn't really make you what you are. It just amplifies. In other words, if you are a gossip, you can get in a situation on Facebook where it could amplify that. But if you're a person that likes to share good recipes or look at pictures and have family time, it amplifies that. So that's the same in church. Whatever really you have fed on, what bread you're full of, you know, if it's the world and all of that negativity, then you bring that. But that's another thing that y'all shared, and I agree with it, about the prayer meeting before church, you know, where we really laid down the negative things that, and come in with fresh bread, fresh baked bread. I'm going to get that in my mind. I like that.
That is a good illustration.
It is, it is.
Fresh bread.
He did it. He brought it around, the preacher, the minister did too. He was really, creative, is that the word? The way that he brought his sermon out was excellent. It was he's at this big meeting, right, that y'all...
The Restoration of Pentecost. It was one of the speakers.
We get to hear some more of that, some more of them.
I believe so. I believe there's 10 messages, and I think that this Todd Nichols was on the first night. They had some really good speakers. I've been listening to some of the CDs from it, and man, it is just awesome. I just have church all by myself. Me and God and the little CD, and it's just been really uplifting.
It was, and his song, Wabiel chose the Keith Green song at the beginning.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody can make me get up any more under conviction than Keith Green in his song.
Really? Yes, I totally agree.
It makes me
want
to do better.
Was on fire for God.
That's true. I have him on my prayer tape. And when I want to get real stirred, I go to him. But he's humorous, too. I mean, he's got some things in there that are just thought-provoking and humor. Very, very, very talented. Went along real well with the music. Did they record any of the music at the special meeting, or is it mostly the sermon?
I think they did record some of the music. And the music was awesome, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
some
if
of
you've
the choir...
ever heard from...
Go ahead.
Carla Burton, she's one of my favorite music leaders, I guess. But she has a music ministry that is second to none.
Wow.
Awesome, right up there with Blog Talk Mom.
Oh, I told the ladies today that I'm gonna, at my age, I'm gonna try to inspire some of the younger women to take the lead and get out and because there's a lot that can be done, and children are so receptive. I am amazed at this particular incident today. The mother. I wasn't eavesdropping. I was just in the same room. I couldn't help but hear the FBI, just this little boy had obviously been had to be taken, that was with her, had to be taken away from another part of the family. And he looked so, he just looked in despair. And I said, would you take one of my CDs? You're just kidding, you know, like that. He said, thank you. Just, I am so happy about that CD. That's been, it's been the most, it's, I don't know. God is just, he's super good to let an old lady like me have something that's so much fun. If you, Facebook, they said they had the church, was, our kids were redecorating their Sunday school room and playing the CD, having a big time. But everybody's listening because if it amplifies, I must be a fuddy-duddy. It amplifies my fuddy-duddy. So I don't get on it, Facebook. But people keep me informed anyway.
Yeah.
I'm going to do, I'm going to have to come see you in Wild Bill. I'm missing you.
Oh, you just come on up. We got room.
That would be great. But if not, I have Tuesday nights, and all of you that are listening, just pray for Wild Bill and Sister Starla and Blog Talk Radio and write and call in. It's your place on Facebook, right?
Yes.
So how they, yeah. I guess that's, and the archives, too, that's super. On how many did you say were this year or had been listening to the program on the archives?
Yeah, well, I don't know about for the year, but sometimes we have 4,000 listens, you know, for a night.
For one night?
And it goes
wow.
out all of all over the world. It's really an awesome ministry that Wild Bill has.
It is. And the gentleman, the minister that he had that preached on the disciples throwing their net to the other side,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
that was a life-changing message.
That was an awesome message.
I hadn't either. I mean, God had given him that, and I'm greatly inspired. It has motivated several choices and decisions I've made for the next couple of months, and I'm very inspired about what God. I feel revival in our land, a real move of God to draw people to Him, to let Him know that He's a God that didn't create us to leave us, but He created us to be, to dwell within us, to tabernacle with us, and to enable us to be able to stand against anything that comes our way, and then take the good and the bad and whatever and turn it for our good. So, you know, as I have loved to say, you just can't lose.
No, you can't. He is a redeemer.
Oh, I love
he
that word.
Redeemed.
Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
He's just redeemed so many situations for me. And I remember when I started praying that prayer, and it has been totally life-changing. I mean, to pray that God would redeem a particular situation and to see Him transform, it just blows you away.
It's the sweetest word I've ever heard is redeemer. Is that a world that totally turned from the Garden of Eden to this very moment that we're talking. As a whole, the world is the world. You know, it's just, and God loves us and redeems everything and holds us and, oh, I love Him, and I look forward to everything, you know, His kingdom come, His will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. He is a mighty God. Great things are in store for His people. We get up and talk to Him in the morning. He'll just amaze us. It's amazing grace, isn't it?
Well, we're fixing to run out of our time. Blog Talk Mom, do you want to close us out with prayer?
That'd be good. Everybody, if there's certainly those that are listening, join with me and let's pray a prayer of believing God that this fresh manna is ours. Lord, in Jesus' name we come before you. We bow before your throne. We are never, ever alone. You're always with us. And Lord, inspire and quicken and make alive in our heart such a love. You said faith, hope, and charity. Lord, give us and grant us faith as we study your word and we stay in your presence and we shun those things that would drain the anointing from our life. Lord, we pray for hope because when we walk with you, Lord, there's that blessed hope, the anchor, Lord, that will keep us through every storm and that love would flow in spite of whatever comes our way. There would be no unforgiveness, but through your power and grace, it would only be love. We thank you, Lord. Heal, bless, restore, and redeem, because that's your will and that's your promise. In Jesus' name we pray again. That name that's above every name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we want to thank everyone for listening again this week, and we pray that you all have a very blessed week, and we'll see you back here at your place next week. Good night.